that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Yeah. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hello.
I got
Very spacious in here.
I think we should just start by saying hello, Scapegoat. Oh yeah, right. He's gone.
See, so for all of you that thought it was a gag.
Yep, and there were some.
Not a gag. Indeed. So yes, he is.
Scapegoat has left the building.
He is theoretically still local, although not here.
Correct.
He's preparing himself for his journey forward.
That's correct.
But we are here.
Yes.
For this lovely episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 377.
Oh my God.
I know. We're getting old.
We're not getting old.
Early 30s.
377.
Oh, Scanner 51. Save it.
377 harkens 400.
It does.
We're in the final throes. That leads us to 400.
Yeah, as soon as you pass 375, it feels like
it's the countdown.
That's the countdown to 400.
Can we figure out when that is? We got to do something for 400.
Well, it's 20. It's theoretically 23. It's not 23. I already know it's not 23. It's half a year away. It's before the end of the year, or it's close to the end of the year. It might actually time itself out to be the first show of the new year, depending on how many breaks we end up taking.
We got to do something for 400.
Maybe. I think we should do something at New York Comic Con. I know it'll be early, but I kind of feel like we could do a fan thing. Just saying.
I mean, we could do a thing. I'm not saying we shouldn't do a thing.
All right.
But I'm thinking we did, was it 200 we did live?
200 we did do live. Remember we got that big giant pizza?
Yeah. No, there were pies.
Yeah, I remember.
There was all kinds of stuff.
We could do something. We'll figure it out.
We got to do something.
Well, we always say we're going to figure it out.
You know what we should
do? Well, we did do that, you know.
We can't discuss
I know.
That.
But it was, you know, live.
Not the point.
All right.
Can't discuss it. This is something we should do that we can actually end up discussing.
Isn't there a statute of limitations? Hasn't that passed?
No.
All right.
New.
I feel like it should have passed by now.
I'm not risking the wrath of Cornboy just to make a joke.
Fair enough.
It's not going to happen.
Fair enough.
What I'm saying is that we should do something special for 400.
Yes.
Because it's fucking 400.
Of course.
Just saying.
Of course.
Just putting it out there.
All right. That's fair enough. All right. Well, we should name this episode. That would probably be helpful before we move forward.
I think. And then there was two was the name on which we've decided.
And then there was two is indeed what we're going with.
However, there doesn't have to be two. Are you in the Northern New Jersey area? Do you have an interest in becoming a member of Big Kev's Geek Stuff show staff? Then drop us a line over at
425.
Oh, you want him to use the GVM line? I was going for email.
Oh, okay.
GeekStuffOG.
That's it.
At gmail.com. And make sure you open the email with, "Hey, Kev."
And that's how you get automatically disqualified from your bit appearing on the show.
But seriously, folks, if you are interested in becoming part of the show staff, we do have a lot of stuff going on, sir. So If you are in, or madam, we're not.
That's right.
We are not gender biased here.
That's right.
We would love to have a I'd love to have a female on the show.
All members of the LGBT community. I think I left out a Q. There's a Q in there now, right?
I think so.
Are they may apply?
Absolutely.
However, what's her name? Dolezal. Whatever. She can't apply.
It's because
she batshit crazy.
She is nuts. Did you see those interviews?
She is batshit crazy.
That aside, if you are interested in becoming a member of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, Northern New Jersey would be the area. Some other details and qualifications that OG can share with you when you send him an email at geekstuffog@gmail.com.
Right.
And yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move forward with the show.
Okay.
I think we have to start off with this story because it was just shocking and handled with class, I might add.
Yeah.
So Jurassic Park toppled the all-time best opening weekend record previously held by Avengers 1.
Uh-huh.
The previous record was 207.4 million. Jurassic World came in with 208.8 million.
Okay.
And then Marvel released, tweeted, etc., an image of Chris Pratt riding a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, it's cute.
With the Avengers in front of it, and it says, the new opening weekend king.
Uh-huh.
It was handled with class. I thought it was, look, it's a shock.
You know why Marvel's doing this, because Marvel, that's one of Marvel's boys.
Of course that helps.
And they're celebrating his success.
Of course that helps.
However, I like to put this out there.
Sure.
Here's why no one gives a shit.
I disagree.
Star Wars
already.
Is in 6 months.
Of course that it is short-lived, but it's a. But I think most people expected that it was going to be Star Wars that took the spot. So that's something.
Oh, it will.
I know, but that something like Jurassic World kind of slid in under the radar and took it, I think is kind of a big deal.
I think sliding in under the radar is not really accurate, sir.
I don't think anybody expected it to do that well.
Okay, I'll give it that. But you're talking about sliding under the radar like all of a sudden We're the Millers is the number one box office movie in the world. That was sliding in under the radar.
Well, there was also a lot of people that thought it was going to tank.
Yeah.
And it was well received.
Uh-huh.
The box office clearly reflected it. That's what I'm saying.
Reviews are mediocre. First week is not what matters. The second week is what matters.
The drop off is significant.
Correct.
Absolutely. But
do we know what the drop off was yet?
No. The drop off is coming into tomorrow.
Right. No.
So we won't know until next week what the drop off is.
Correct. That's the number I want to see.
Absolutely. But opening weekend is, you can't discount opening weekend.
No, I'm not
opening
discounting
weekend is still
it.
A big deal.
I just, you know what? At this point, counting box office numbers for summer blockbusters, I think is pointless. Even if it's the all time blah, blah, I just think it's pointless.
All right.
There's a Star Wars movie coming. There's no way it doesn't open past 208 million. First of all, because it's going to be in more theaters on more screens in those theaters.
Of course.
So it's just, you know.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I still say kudos to Jurassic World.
Not that it doesn't deserve kudos.
Yeah.
I'm just at this point, it's like, you know, it's like, well, being the valedictorian of summer school.
It's kind of like almost every year something beats it. Although a lot of people thought Avengers 2 was going to beat it too, and it didn't. So maybe that was a bigger shock than Jurassic World beating it. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Rightfully so. That movie was meh.
Well, all right. Well, let's move forward. Let's move forward. We had this conversation already.
I know we did.
American Gods.
Ah.
Finally moving forward.
Now we're talking.
On Stars.
Uh-huh.
American Gods long journey has successfully found a home on Stars. Neil Gaiman, of course, is very excited to be part of it. Neil Gaiman is someone who I think approaches his properties being developed outside of his full control with hesitation. And he seems very excited, which makes me very excited.
Name one.
I think he's had hesitation about Sandman when it first got tossed around. When it first got tossed around.
Here's the deal with
He was a little concerned.
Here's the deal with his properties.
Uh-huh.
The deal with his properties are that he is a package deal with the properties.
I understand that. But
it's not like I know you want to compare this to like Alan Moore.
I don't, because Alan Moore hates everything, so you can't compare it to Alan Moore.
Okay.
But what I just think that he's always enthusiastic about it. But it always seems like he talks hesitantly about them until there's some real confirmation. And I would even say that when American Gods first got bandied around with HBO,
right,
4 or 5 years ago, he didn't have the enthusiasm that he has now. I just think that there's a team involved in this that he's very comfortable with. And for me, that makes me excited, because if he's excited, and I love American Gods, it's a great book.
Sure.
If he's excited about it and Starz is excited about it, then hopefully the product is a good product.
Well, yeah, I would hope.
I don't know how many episodes they're talking about. I don't think it's going to be a movie. It's going to be a straight to series order. So I don't know if it's multiple seasons. I don't know if it's a limited season, if it's
like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. So herein lies the problem. I don't want them to beat and pulverize and stretch the material. If they want to take 2 or 3 seasons, but if they want to come out of the gate saying, listen, this is a finite series,
right?
We know that it's going to take 3 seasons for the sake of conversation.
Sure.
To tell this entire story, that's what you're going to get, and that's what you get. That's great.
You also have a Nancy Boys.
You do, but so the way to handle that is to end American Gods
and pick up
pick up a Nancy Boys
and call it American Gods colon a Nancy Boys.
As opposed to just continuing under the American Gods banner with the Nancy Boys story, because there is a big enough differentiation between the stories where they should be treated separately.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. But kudos, Neil, and kudos to Starz. I'm pretty excited about it.
Oh, and speaking of Game of Thrones, For the Watch.
Yeah, I'm behind. I mean, I know what happened, but I'm way behind.
For the Watch.
All right.
Everybody's losing their minds
I know.
There are people who put up like shrines.
I know.
Like in the streets.
I know.
No one cared when Ned Stark died. Just saying.
Rupert Wyatt is now set to direct Channing Tatum in the upcoming Fox film Gambit. Now, when I first read this, I said to myself, who the fuck is Rupert Wyatt? Is this going to suck?
Uh-huh.
And then I was like...
Then you learned.
And then I was like, oh, Rise of the Planet of the Apes? Huh.
Uh-huh.
Huh. That's interesting. I mean, clearly he knows how to handle genre material.
And it's interesting also because...
And he's serious as far as directing goes, mm-hmm. so...
And that was an amazing movie.
That's what I mean.
Amazing movie.
I'm still hesitant on Channing Tatum, but...
Give him a chance.
Of course. Of course, you have to give him a chance.
I got a couple of words for you. Heath Ledger.
Absolutely. Look,
Hugh Jackman.
Absopositutely. All right, this is the fluff story of the week.
Ooh, fluff.
Paul Feig... His Ghostbusters film.
I get it. Because fluff, because marshmallow.
Yes. He has, good on you. He has just added Christopher Hemsworth to the cast of his film.
And this is not fluff.
It's a little fluffy.
This is the most hysterical story of the week.
In the role of the receptionist.
Correct.
Previously portrayed by Annie Potts.
Correct.
So there you go. I think it's funny. With an all-female cast. And godlike Chris Hemsworth as a receptionist.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
She was great in that role.
She was awesome.
She was hilarious.
And she had that little romance with... Well, first it was Egon. And then they alluded in the second movie that it was with Louis Tully.
Rick Moranis, yes. Louis Tully. The Keymaster?
Yes.
Yes, because he was looking for the gatekeeper.
Right.
So there you go. Chris Hemsworth. Correct. It's the fluff piece. It's funny.
It's hysterical.
I'm okay with it. It's the fluff piece,
I think
though.
It's hysterical.
All right. There is no way on earth that I'm going to be able to pronounce this guy's name. I'm just letting you know now.
Abdul Asumulandi.
I'm going to butcher it. So prepare thine ears.
I am prepared.
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Yeah. The guy from 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
Go on.
Or the operative from Serenity.
Oh, he is the same guy.
Yep.
Wow, he looks... Wow, he's not aging well.
Well,
is
he's aged considerably between the two projects.
Wow, okay, yeah. Very good, sir.
And also in Serenity, he was all...
Loved him in
He was
movie.
Buff and very kind of regal in an assassin type of way. As opposed to 12 Years a Slave.
When he was... A slave.
Not so much. Yeah. But he has been tapped to play Baron Mordo in the upcoming Doctor Strange film. I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah. And Are you aware that I posted on Facebook on our page about
this? I did.
This?
I did.
Could I share that with the
sure,
audience?
Sure. Go for
because
it.
Because I have to
I
say.
I commented on it. Did I not?
I don't know that you commented. I know you liked it, but I don't know that you commented on it. Here's what I wrote. Dear Josh Trank, no one is saying shit about his race. Everyone still wants to see this movie. You played the race card, not the fans. The fans pre-hate your movie because it looks like crap and not at all like the FF, and not because of anyone's race. Good luck with, quote, Chronicle 2, end quote, or whatever lame piece of shit you're going to call your next personal movie. You're not an auteur. You're an amateur, and everyone knows it. See ya, the fans. P.S., no one believes your bullshit about, quote, leaving, end quote, Star Wars Rogue One. You were fired because you were an asshole. Good riddance from the genre film world.
Yes, I believe I think I commented simply on what he said. I think it's my entire comment or what Big Kev said. I think
all likes. Oh, no, that's actually that's on my personal page.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see what you put on our
I commented. So but you reposted that to the show.
I
page.
Did. Yeah, I did.
So there you go. This is, of course, a race bent character, but no one cares. It looks good. Yeah, I think he's fine for the role. I'm excited about it.
Absolutely.
I continue to be excited about this film.
He's a great actor.
He is.
And it's another fine casting choice for the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
Bravo.
Good for them.
Bravo.
Kudos, dare I say.
Yes.
In the I hope he's not playing a pilot segment of the week.
Uh-oh.
Forrest Whitaker has joined the Star Wars anthology. Rogue One.
Why do you hope he's not playing a pilot?
Because I don't think he passed the eye test. I'm just saying.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
That could be a problem.
That is hurtful.
Ghost Dog is Sith, yo.
Well, they did not say he was a
Sith. I know. I'm just making a joke.
I get it.
He's got a sword. Come on. Photoshop the sword as a red saber. That would be funny.
Okay.
We don't know what role he'll be playing in the film.
You know, you also are the only person that remembers the movie Ghost Dog.
Actually, a longtime listener and friend of the show. Do you remember Raph?
Yeah.
Raph today, I saw on his Facebook page, posted a review of Ghost Dog. He must have gone back and watched it after hearing the news.
There you go.
So there you go. Not the only one who remembers it.
You want to see some good Forrest Whitaker, you want to watch films like Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Sure.
Or Platoon.
He's on that Criminal Minds spinoff TV show too.
Oh,
he's
is?
Pretty good on that show. Oh. I like Criminal Minds, and he's on the spinoff. I forget what it's called. But he's pretty good on that too. But yeah, we have no idea what role he'll be playing.
Okay.
Of course the film
comes out. Because we don't know anything about it.
Other than the teaser that we saw.
What role will he play because we don't know any of the roles.
Well, we know the main plot of the film.
Yeah, but other than that,
right.
I mean, we don't know. Are there characters? Is Mon Mothma one of the characters? Like,
I have a feeling that he's going to play some sort of like ranking officer. Like, I feel like he commands that kind of role. With the voice and the way he carries himself.
Yes, but who will play Admiral Akbar?
CGI.
There was footage. We're not really there yet, I guess. Talking about E3. Remind me later, we'll talk about
talking about
that.
What? We E3. Can talk about it.
E3 footage from Battlefront?
Oh, no, we're going to talk about that in segment two.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in segment two. All right, I actually only have... No, I have two more stories. This is a little bit out of our genre, but maybe not entirely. But I found it interesting, and I think you'll find it interesting.
Okay.
Kenneth Branagh.
What?
The
great Kenneth Branagh.
The great.
One day to be Sir Kenneth Branagh.
Yes, the great Kenneth Branagh is now attached to helm the adaptation of Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express for 20th Century Fox.
Really? Another version?
So, well, it hasn't been done in quite some time. When was the last time it was done? 2010?
How long?
2010, I think. But it wasn't called Murder on the Orient Express. It didn't have a different name.
I'm sure this is not the first version of Murder on the Orient Express. I'm sure that it can't be.
But no, I mean, it's been, there was a film in the 70s. I think there was something in the mid 80s. It's been adapted 100 times over. And I think there's even been other novelizations of it. I think there was like an illustrated book of it. I mean, it's one of the most well-known books by Agatha Christie out there.
How many stars of Downton Abbey do you think will be in this adaptation?
All of them.
I would not be surprised.
But
if a bunch of them were in there.
The truth of the matter is, and I've read the original book. I like some Agatha Christie mystery stuff.
Uh-huh.
The truth of the matter is, though, I would have almost no interest in it just because I don't feel like I need to see it again, except that Kenneth Branagh is attached to it.
And we don't know who's in it either.
Right. But I find myself drawn to anything that he's attached to because he's a visionary.
What?
And he puts out great work.
Yeah. Where's the Shakespeare, Kenneth? Where's the Shakespeare?
It's been a while.
It's been a long ass while.
I mean, it might be, see. I'm not a huge fan of his Hamlet. I know that makes me blasphemous, no, but I am not.
To me?
Did you like his Hamlet?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, I did not like his Hamlet either.
Well,
oh, good.
But I
did like Henry V.
Sure.
And I liked, although he did not direct, he performed in Much Ado.
No. He directed Much Ado and performed in it.
Did he direct that as
well? Yes, he did not direct, but gave the most brilliant performance I've ever seen in... Othello.
Yes, correct.
He gave the most brilliant performance of his career in Othello, a movie he did not direct. What he hoped would be the most brilliant performance of his career was Hamlet.
Right.
Except that he was the worst thing in that movie.
Yeah, I did not like Hamlet.
He did the full text, which, bravo, you want to make a 4.5-hour movie, more power to you. It looked beautiful. It was a beautiful movie.
I didn't like the setting. I don't know. I didn't like it.
I have a problem with any of that stuff. The biggest problem, the most distracting problem, was him speeding through his part.
Through the part.
I mean, so much of it was so fast.
Well, because he decided to do the full text.
I know.
I mean, you gotta
make some cuts. Depardieu's character in order to get a naturally spoken speech here or there by Hamlet.
I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him tackle Shakespeare. Please, can someone do Lear? Can someone who is talented do Lear?
Here's
please?
The problem with Lear. You have to be near the grave to play Lear. And the problem is, I know Kenneth Branagh is going to do Lear, but he's not going to do it for like another 25 or 30 years.
Sucks. I love Lear.
I love Lear too.
And you don't see it even performed often, let alone a film adaptation.
Right.
Just, I don't know. Anyway, we're off on a crazy tangent.
That was today's segment of Big Kev's Bards stuff.
There you go. Exactly. So, all right, let's move past that. All right, one more thing before we take our first break. In the No Shit Sherlock segment this week, DC Comics, through the voice of Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, have confirmed something that everybody really already knew.
Who's gay now?
Funny you should say that. Not really gay, but bi, I guess.
Is it Harley Quinn?
It is. Harley Quinn has, in fact, in love with, and is in some sort of relationship with Poison Ivy. Yes, they are girlfriends without the jealousy of monogamy, quoted Jimmy Palmiotti. And then I think when Harley falls in love, she falls in love hard and loyally, no matter who they are.
Oh, they both have good taste.
Was his follow-up. Look, they have been teasing the fact that Harley and Poison Ivy have been an item for years.
Yeah, it's fine.
And they stopped teasing, as far as I'm concerned, they stopped teasing it in the new 52 Harley book, when Harley, if you haven't been reading that book or weren't reading it before Convergence, because I don't know where it is now, but like she kind of has this like sidekick in the book that's like an undead beaver. Do you know what I'm talking about? And yes. In the very first issue or the second issue, Poison Ivy comes to visit her in her new apartment that she just rented. And she's like, and you have to come in and, you know, meet the big beaver. And like, you know, there's like all this terrible sexual innuendo between the two. It's kind of like just slapping us in the face with their relationship. This isn't news.
This is really gone. DC is really starting to go the way of Marvel. Did we talk about what really Convergence meant last week? Did we talk about
that? We did not, no.
All right. So, I mean, I'm going to summarize Convergence for all of you out there. Convergence was done, a big, complicated terrible, sloppy mess of a storyline done to undo Crisis on Infinite Earths from 1986. That's the sole purpose of Convergence.
Right.
Why? Because Dan DiDio wanted to give writers and creators the freedom to write any story, any timeline, anything involving any version of these characters that they wanted to create. And by allowing a multiverse to exist, or by allowing the multiverse to come back, he can do that. So now somebody goes, hey, I want to write a Gotham by Gaslight story. Good. There you go.
Done.
That universe exists. Yeah. Hey, I want to create an all new thing where Batman is a gay teen girl. Okay, cool. You're in. Go. Do it. Because there's a universe that will support that. And there isn't one? All right, well, go ahead and create one because we'll allow that. It is reminiscent of Joe Quesada's comment to me, continuity should not stand in the way of a good story.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And look, and Convergence ended up, it also was a time off for movement, wasn't it?
Yeah.
DC was moving offices.
They were all moving to LA.
So there you go. All right. I think with that being said.
Yes, sir.
We could probably take our first break.
We should take that break, OG. And if you want to be a part of the Big Kev Geek Stuff phenomenon, we have a GVM line that you can call.
425-920-6050.
Getting back in that groove.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Indeed you will. And we'll be right back after this break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 377.
And then there were two.
Right, that's it.
Ah, hello there. This is Sven Gulli from Meat TV, and you're listening to Super Game Stuff with Coke Logic. Perfect. I'm just reading this. That's what he told me to read. But really, you are listening.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Bethesda's first E3 press conference was a huge success, finally showing off the new Doom game, announcing Dishonored 2, and showing everything you'd want to know about Fallout 4, including Fallout 4's release date of November 10th, 2015. That's right, it's coming this year. While Doom has a 2016 release date, and Dishonored 2 is TBA. Microsoft opened their show with Halo 5, which surprisingly has a four-player co-op campaign. It's a great-looking game with an October 27th, 2015 release date. Other highlights include Forza 6, Dark Souls 3 officially confirmed for 2016, a new demo for Rise of the Tomb Raider, and the premiere of Gears of War 4. But the biggest bombshell from Microsoft was the announcement of backwards compatibility for Xbox 360 games on Xbox One. The way they're doing it is it works with your digitally purchased games, so your disc-based library of games won't work. And Microsoft's most impressive thing that they showed off was the HoloLens, which I cannot believe it, but it actually works, and it looks amazing. Electronic Arts had two games worth talking about. A CG trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda, which is the latest Mass Effect game, but without a release window. And Star Wars Battlefront, which looks stunningly fantastic. Battlefront is due out November 17th, 2015, and if you think you wanted to buy this game, you should buy this game. Ubisoft showed The Division, which has a release date of March 8th, 2016, Rainbow Six Siege, which has a release date of October 13th, 2015, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which has a release date of October 23rd, 2015, along with new games like For Honor and the reimagined Ghost Recon. So there are a lot of games coming from Ubisoft this year. But let's see if they can hit those release dates without delay. Nintendo. They had a great presentation with Jim Henson-style Muppets introducing their games. But the actual games were... meh. Super Mario Maker is a program like Mario Paint, where you design and play your own Mario levels, which is fantastic. Except for the fact it's released on September 11th, 2015. And Nintendo showed off Star Fox Zero, which didn't look great visually. So if you never cared about Star Fox, this was their big thing at E3. Amongst some mandatorily Nintendo-branded 3DS games, another Mario Tennis, an Animal Crossing party game, and that Xeno Chronicles game that never comes out, there was nothing that says, you need a Wii U. In fact, it almost felt like they're saving their games for their next home console. Super Mario Maker is great, but it's not Mario Galaxy 3. And finally, Sony is the company that makes your dreams come true. Starting off with the reaffirmation of Last Guardian, which is due out in 2016. They also begat the Kickstarter campaign, which has already been fulfilled for Shenmue 3. And because this isn't really happening, they officially announced their remake of Final Fantasy VII. But besides making hard promises on long overdue demands, they showed an impressive demo for Uncharted 4, which is due out in 2016. But that's the black mirror of the Sony press conference, which besides the future, they don't have much going on. It's one of those years that, if not for their third-party support, they'd be dead. I guess they're the opposite of Nintendo. This is Coke Logic signing off for GameStop.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guides, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
Hey, Geek Stuff crew. Scanner51 here from Twitter. Calling for a question from last show about why we are okay with the DC animated movies kind of going dark and gloomy when we're kind of opposed to the live-action movies going that way. I'm 33. The animated series came out when I was 10 years old, so these cartoons are what I grew up on. So as they go further down the line, I think it's just because they know what age their audience is now. Bruce Timm understood that, and now James Tucker, who's in charge of the movies, understands that we've all grown up. We're all in our early to mid-30s, and it's just something of a natural progression. I don't know. That's the way I see it. I still show these movies to my 2-year-old. She loves the Wonder Woman one. She doesn't understand what violence is yet, so seeing a head get chopped off is just kind of funny to her for now. Anyway, great show. Talk to you later.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 377, and then there were two.
Yep.
Of course, during the break there, you heard what I think might be the first of other things involving E3 from Coke Logic, so expect more from him. But you also heard our lovely sponsor,
BuildMillenniumFalcon.com.
That's right. This, of course, is the D'Agostini Build the Millennium Falcon model subscription kit. Is
yes,
that a
sir.
Good way to describe
yes,
it?
Yes, sir.
If you're interested in checking it out, of course, buildmillenniumfalcon.com, no A, not build a Millennium Falcon,
right,
because last week someone was like, I keep on going,
boo.
buildmillenniumfalcon.com,
correct.
Or
give them a call,
877-544-6779.
Yep, and we are really ramping up our parts. I think we're going to hopefully be ready to do half a build
pretty
soon, so we'll do a time lapse on that.
Okay.
And then, it's really exciting. It's a beautiful lit electronics model. Everything's to scale, built from the movie, the one they used as a prop in the movies. Terrific piece. It can be yours at a reasonable price rather than, you know, there are some companies out there, I don't like to mention names, who put out big ship replicas
yep.
and they're really, really expensive and
yep.
OG hates them.
I don't hate them.
As a result. Because they're so ridiculously expensive.
That part is true.
This is a ship everybody knows, most iconic, one of the most iconic spaceships ever.
I would say the most iconic spaceship ever.
And you're building it. And it's not only the outside. I think we should say that also. Inside completely detailed.
Oh, yeah.
And you're building it. It's yours. It's got lights. It's got the whole Megillah. Definitely check out buildmillenniumfalcon.com. One of the greatest products to come down the pipe in a long time.
Excellent. Of course, the last thing you heard during that break, that break was chock full of content.
Stuff.
Voicemail from Scanner51.
Yes.
So Scanner51 kind of gave us a follow-up. I don't think he really asked a question, but he gave an explanation to the conversation we had last week regarding the DC animated films versus the cinematic universe.
Correct.
And the tone.
The darkness.
The tone and why one is acceptable and one is not. I think that his opinion is a valid one. I think there's probably some logic to what he has to say.
Right.
That we have grown up with them. It's just a weird balance because, you know, sometimes, even though I know that we shouldn't think this way or I shouldn't think this way, and I don't want to lump everybody in, I'll throw myself under the bus. But you sometimes, right, you think to yourself, hey, I'm going to show my two-year-old Wonder Woman beheading somebody. Scanner 51. Dude.
Dyfus.
Dude, we're friends,
Colin
right?
Dyfus.
We're friends, right? But so you think animated and you think, well, shouldn't this be the one that's a bit more? But no, it's not, right? So I don't know. I'm still torn up about the thing. Everything I've heard makes sense on both sides of the fence. I still feel conflicted internally about it. That's all.
It really boils down to you don't have to make animated things just for kids.
Well, yes, that is correct.
And I can give you two arguments that precede this argument here.
No, that is correct. But, okay. but that wasn't really the argument. The argument wasn't so much that why are the animated ones for adults?
Oh, no.
The question was,
I'm not talking about the
why
question
is one
last
okay
week.
And not, yeah. Why is it okay for the animated to be dark and the movies not to be?
I know that was the question. Yeah. I'm expanding. Upon
of course,
that.
Look, there are because plenty of so animated people, films that are not appropriate for children.
There's so many people who say that. Though.
Of course,
it's animated animated films are definitely intended for children. What about South Park?
Yeah, well, of course.
What about Watership Down?
I was going to say, what about Watership Down?
What about the Plague Dogs?
Yeah, I mean, there's
what
a
about,
lot of stuff.
I mean, there's a million of them. You can go out. What about heavy metal?
Sure.
Definitely not for
definitely
kids.
Definitely not for wizards. If you're going to go down
definitely
that route,
definitely not for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a ton of animated things that have been done.
Anything on Adult Swim?
Not anything.
No, a lot of. Speaking of Adult Swim, I'm going to take a quick 3-second tangent.
Yes, sir.
Have you watched any of Rick and Morty?
I don't know what you're talking
about.
I
think you need to watch Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Yes,
okay.
I think you would enjoy it.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Check that
That's
out.
Your homework.
Okay.
Rick and Morty.
That's my assignment.
That's your assignment for next week.
Assignment.
Just one episode. It's easy.
Assignment, right. Rick and Morty.
Let's quickly hit on E3. I'm not going to spend a ton of time
hey,
on E3.
Hey, E3.
Hey, yo.
How you doing, baby?
Is that a controller in your pocket? Or? So a couple of things that I was personally excited about.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're probably going to spend a little bit more time on Battlefront.
I got two.
All right. I have two or three, and you have two. So you want me to go? You go?
Do ours cross?
They might.
One of them
I don't
does.
Know. Probably.
Oh, I didn't show you the other one. That's why.
Okay.
We'll have to do that at some point.
All right. So the first one that I'm kind of excited about, simply on a nostalgic / I like stupid fun / classic look, Transformers Devastation.
Okay.
Which is the new Transformers game. It looks like it's a fighting type game, but it's using the old animation style from the original cartoon.
Like Gen 1?
Gen 1. And it features a bunch of Gen 1 Autobots and a bunch of Gen 1 Decepticons.
Right.
And, of course, the biggest one is Devastator. And it just looks cool. And it's got some cool, like, robot-to-vehicle mode fighting combos and stuff. It looks cool. It looks like a lot of fun.
Okay.
Final Fantasy VII, the remake, I'm excited about. It looks gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually talking to Scapegoat about this.
Yes.
You know, he's still around. Sort
well,
of. I was talking to him about this, and I feel like the remake completely changes the feel of the game. Not just on the level that the graphics have been enhanced, but something about the tone of the game feels completely different to me with the remake. So,
So
if you haven't seen that trailer, check it out. And I'm trying to think of the other ones that I thought looked kind of cool. Yarn. Did you see the trailer for that?
No.
It looked kind of cool. There's a couple more, I'm sure. But
The one I didn't get to show you this before the show, and I now regret it because I think you would really enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you what it is.
Oh, it's, yes,
it's the sequel to Stick of Truth,
right?
The South Park game, which was absolutely amazing in 2014. First things first, I haven't heard yet, but I'm really hoping they're going to port that to
next
Xbox
gen?
One and
yeah, maybe.
PS4.
Maybe after this game comes out,
maybe.
And there's a resurgence.
Right. And now the new game is called The Fractured But Whole.
That's right.
And it is actually switched genres.
Right.
From the fantasy genre.
Right.
To the superhero genre.
Yes.
So you're now playing as Kuhn and Friends.
Nice.
Versus Professor Chaos.
I'm down with it.
All the Kuhn and Friends are there. Mysterion, the human kite. Yes. I can't remember the rest of them.
What was it? Crunchberry?
Yeah, Mintberry Crunch.
Mintberry Crunch.
He was also in the trailer.
Nice.
Featured in the trailer.
Very nice.
The trailer, of course, is the funniest thing in the world.
Of course.
Because they start out like they're going to make a sequel to Stick of Truth, and then it really is funny. OG will post a link.
I will post a link.
Because it is absolutely hysterical. So I'm really looking forward to that. And I really hope they port Stick of Truth
of course
over to next gen. That would be great.
Of course, moving from there, actually, before we get to the big game,
yes, sir,
because I think we both want to talk about Battlefront.
We do.
But before we talk about that, I want to talk about our Arkham Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's coming
breaking
out.
Breaking news. Yeah. Breaking news on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's
by
coming
the time,
out Monday.
By time you hear it, everyone will know it.
Yeah.
But.
So
is that Monday?
I think it's Monday.
I thought it was Wednesday.
No, I think it's Monday.
22nd?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong, but I believe it's Monday.
You could be right.
Either way, we got this from one of our listeners, a ubiquitous clandestine informant.
Yes.
Who works for a retailer that sells video games.
Uh-huh.
And
could be any retailer.
He sent us a letter that they received pretty much saying that the Batmobile Collector's Edition of the game is being pulled from all retailers due to quality control issues. I'm just going to read this to you real quick.
Okay.
Dear Batman Arkham fans, we regret to inform you that we are not able to release the Batmobile Collector's Edition of Batman Arkham Knight due to unforeseen circumstances that greatly compromise the quality of this extremely limited run of product. We are deeply apologetic for this unfortunate outcome. If you did pre-order the Batmobile Collector's Edition, please go to the retail location where you pre-order the product and you will receive a full refund of your deposit, or it can be rolled over to another Batman Arkham Knight Edition or another product of your choice. We'll be providing everyone who purchases Batman Arkham Knight with the new 52 skin pack, including Batman, Robin, and Nightwing free of charge. And then it goes on to say, you know, if you're a retailer, call the people and let them know. So, yeah, a lot of people are not happy about this.
So, apparently, the Batmobile's garbage.
Yeah, there were quality control issues.
Yeah. That now, company has had quality control issues in the past.
Who is the company?
We always see them at New York Comic Con.
It's not Monogram, is it?
It's not Monogram.
Okay.
They always have those. They always have, like, the year that, like, whenever the last Batman game was, they had the Joker one on display.
Right, I remember.
They always have the big. They have the big like prop replicas.
Yeah, didn't they have a Green Arrow piece?
Yeah,
last
with like
year?
The frozen arrow. That yeah, you were yeah, like, yeah. That is amazing. Them. I don't know who it is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what sucks? Look, I understand that things happen. Right. I get it. Things happen. I mean, that's just the way it is. What sucks is that they're not finding out about this until now. And most of the special other versions of the special edition of the game
right.
are long sold out.
Oh, yeah.
So if you were banking on a collector's edition
of
version
any
of
type.
The game, you're befucked.
Yep.
You're done.
Yep.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
They really should be doing more than just here's a free skin. I hate to say it. It sucks for the company that made the game because they're not in charge of the product. But they should be doing something. Here's more than a skin. Here's a free in-game Batmobile. Something.
Something.
You know, here's a free...
Free skin! They're giving that to everybody!
I know, but, you know, you get the first DLC package free or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There really should be some sort of other compensation for those people. But, there it is.
There it is.
So there you go. Battlefront. Looks fucking amazing.
So the two in-game footage that they've shown.
Right.
They did like a Tatooine one.
Right.
And they did a Hoth one.
Right.
They were both amazing.
Amazing. And it was actual gameplay.
It was actual game footage,
yeah.
Which is unreal.
Yes, stellar.
Yeah. It was chaotic as hell, though.
Yeah, but you know, think about it. It's capturing the chaos of the scenario.
Which I understand. It's just the way that they bounce from thing to thing. I mean, the gameplay is not like that.
Right. So what we're talking about is this trailer that they released.
Correct. Two.
Right. Jumps all over the place. Yeah. Like all of a sudden you're the rebels, right? And you're on Tatooine. And then the next thing you know, and then they show you on Hoth and they show the rebels trying to take out an AT-AT.
Yeah.
But then the next thing you know,
you're
a snowtrooper.
Yeah.
Like, and you're trying to protect the AT-AT. And
yeah.
Like for a second, my brain was like, wait, did we capture an AT-AT?
Something
like
happened?
Something happened. And then you're controlling a snow speeder at one point.
And then you have to, what you have to do is you really have to accepted as a trailer. Yes, it's gameplay footage, but it's a trailer that they've cobbled together of gameplay footage.
Correct.
Because the game is not as chaotic as this trailer
of course
would lead you to believe.
Of course.
But that said, all of the individual things that you saw in that trailer, first person or third person,
right?
Excellent. The sound effects, the music, the just the graphics, the playability. I mean, it just looks like you can be any number of different things.
Everything looks stellar.
Yeah. Really great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm
excited for the game.
Absolutely.
So
can't wait.
I think that's it. E3 wise. I think I'm going to let Coke Logic.
Yeah. Coke Logic
handle the coverage.
The nitty gritty.
We can quickly say though that there is also, they also released a trailer, Star Wars related for the Old Republic. The next expansion pack, that's the free MMO that they have.
Oh.
The trailer looks great.
Oh, wait.
I don't play the game, but the trailer looks good.
Oh, let me comment on that. Whoopee fucking do.
People who play the game are very excited.
People who play the game now for free
are very excited.
Are very excited.
The game looks
MMO
good.
MMO stinks.
All right. I heard that people who play it like it.
Stink. I played it 4 times. It stinks.
All right, let's move on. Product.
You just don't want to get involved, do you?
No, I haven't played it, so I can't defend it outside of what I've heard. People I know that have played it enjoyed it.
Remember when we played Galaxies? Remember how much fun we used to have?
Amazing.
Amazing. Nothing like that.
All right. I feel you. All right. Product this week.
Yeah.
This is Funko Legacy Collection. This, of course, is the previews exclusive version of the Jane Cobb figure.
I have to say, just at the outset, oh my God, Funko 6-inch figures are phenomenal.
Funko, man, is firing on all cylinders.
They're taking it, and they just released their, 8th email of San Diego
and they still have 2 more. Oh, they have 3 more.
Unbelievable.
They have 3 more emails.
Today was a Jaws announcement.
Yep.
Bloody Jaws and Quint.
And Quint, yeah.
Now I gotta get that.
Yeah, they have 3 more. And did you also see the Murloc 3-pack?
No.
It's a World of Warcraft Murloc 3-pack. Really? No, yeah, it's very cute. So this is the previews exclusive version of Jane. What makes him the exclusive is he has his hat.
Yes.
So the regular version of him, he has a different shirt, I think, as well.
Correct.
I think he's wearing a blue sun shirt in the other version.
Did you get
version
that one as
figure.
Well?
I didn't. I might go back and get it.
Right. I would.
I'm not that tied to it, though. Like, I really wanted the hat because, you know. It's iconic, but
it'd be awesome if they put out like a Reaver.
I hope they put out a series 2 of figures. That would be great. Because
they didn't get everybody.
Yeah. Who's missing? Simon is missing. Simon is always missing.
Always missing.
And I think
Shepherd Book.
I think Book is missing too.
Look on the back of that box.
No, they don't have him.
Oh, really? Well, I bet on that.
Oh, it says Malcolm, Jane, Kaylee, Wash, and Zoe.
Correct.
Oh, so they don't even have River.
No River.
No River, no Simon, no Book.
That definitely means a series too. There's no way they don't do River.
I would happily take the Operative. I would happily take a Reaver. I would take Badger.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's a bunch of characters.
There's a bunch of characters.
That I think would be cool to have. You know?
Mrs. Reynolds.
Yeah.
In the buff.
I'd take Mrs. Reynolds.
Whoa.
Whoa there,
killer.
Just saying.
That figure's phenomenal.
It is. It's awesome. It features 1, 2, 3, 4,
I think
5,
it also says on the
seven,
box,
nine. Does
sir.
It say the number of points?
I think it does. Why don't you give me the box? Let me peruse the box.
I didn't see the points of articulation listed on the box.
Is it not? No, is it not? Huh.
No.
It really is great packaging. We should say that also.
It's great. It's nice window packaging. But yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. It looks like it has maybe 18,
now
20
is,
points of articulation.
Now, is this points of articulation or places where articulation occurs?
Exactly. So. Of course, it comes with the hat, a very cunning hat.
Oh, yes.
It comes with Vera.
Yep.
Which is nice. It comes with Vera is the big gun.
The big
for you
gun.
That don't remember. It also comes with his signature pistol.
Right.
Which I have a replica of somewhere in this studio.
All really, really well executed, we should say. Not just flat, like one color off prints. Maybe they washed some paint over it.
Yeah.
All of those accessories are fully detailed and painted.
So the only criticism I have
Oh, here.
And
it
this
comes.
Is and this is slightly nitpicky.
Oh, here it comes.
And I accept that it's nitpicky, and I'm going to say this. If this is my only criticism, the figure is still a home run.
Go.
His face is too clean.
Let me see.
It feels too he needs a little more. Let me see. Let me see. a little more dirt or scruff or something. It feels a little clean. That's all.
Okay, I get that.
Again, it's nitpicky.
You could do that.
I could do it.
A little brown Homer Simpson wash on there.
And they attempted texture on the hat, but somehow it's way underplayed.
Right.
And that would have been nice too. But again, if those are the only two things, that's me being
and the third
really
thing.
Nitpicky. No, that's it. That's it. The rest of the paint app I think is really nice. I haven't fully taken him out of the package yet. I hope he stands. I'll report back on that later.
This is now the time when I'm going to sell my other ones.
The small ones? Yeah.
No, the small ones.
The 3 and 3. The other 6-inch ones.
The original
6-inch
ones. Yes.
Yeah, I don't have those, you know. I never got them.
Really?
No.
You want to buy some?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe just for collectability.
I got them all, sir.
I'm sure you do.
I got every one.
I don't doubt it. There was Reavers.
I even got the promotion.
It was
ones.
Two Reavers, Mal, River.
There were like two Mals. There was like
a Jane.
There was at least one Jane.
It wasn't a lot. There weren't a lot of figures for it.
There's a few, though.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a great figure. I hope to have next week the rest of the lineup. I did order them. They just haven't arrived yet.
Oh, cool.
Actually, it might be 2 weeks before I have the rest of the lineup, now that I think about it. The place that I order from this great place, where you get a banging discount.
Yeah.
But the way it works, because you get this banging discount, the way it works is they ship like...
You gotta wait.
They ship like once a month.
Yeah.
And I think it's the last like Tuesday of the month. Gotcha. So I will probably get it that last week of June.
Got it.
Look, for the money I save, I can wait.
This is may be the time to say that we're not on next week.
Yeah, that's probably not gonna happen. I wanted it to happen. There's a slight possibility it's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, it's not going to happen?
I will confirm now it is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I'm going to share, I don't recall your reason, but I'm going to share the show-related reason why we won't
I actually didn't have a reason.
Oh.
I had a reason with the possible rescheduling.
Yes.
But I did not have a reason for the actual day.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I guess we could reschedule. Boy, this is a lot of behind the curtain, isn't it? Let me tell you why it won't be taped on the normal day.
Why?
Next week.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it's this Sunday.
Yes.
The 21st.
Uh-huh.
And Wednesday, the 24th.
Yes.
Is the re-release
of
Jaws.
Right, and you're going.
And I'm going to all of them.
Nice, good on you.
Two on Sunday, two on Wednesday,
which
is the day we normally tape.
Right.
So I suggest all of you check out Fathom Events. This is a Fathom event. It may be at a theater near you. I cannot wait to talk about my first ever, that I'm admitting to, big screen experience watching Jaws on the program. Yeah, if we reschedule for another day. Yeah, we can.
Yeah, I that might be an issue, but we'll talk about that.
I thought you had the issue. That's why.
No. But I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
But that being said, of course, the wrap-up music is fun.
Of course it is.
But before we get into the plugs.
Yes.
I'm going to toss something out there really quick. We are tinkering with various forms of fundraising, which is coming down the pipeline very quickly.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon 2015.
A lot of people have suggested us checking out Patreon, which I have looked into. I know a lot of other podcasts use it, and successfully, I might add. That being said, a lot of other podcasts that use it offer some sort of incentive packages. So this is what I'm tossing out to you.
Uh-oh.
What would you, the listener, like to see as an incentive if we went that route? That's all. And you can think big, because the incentive could be a big donation, you know, a big contribution gets you a big incentive. You could also think small.
Now we're talking about an ongoing donation, right?
That is correct.
Like a monthly.
Yeah, okay. But I think you can also do one-time donations as well.
Right.
So think outside the box.
Yeah.
Give us some ideas for incentives.
Okay.
And I'm not saying we're going down that road, but we're exploring it.
Exactly.
And we need some input from you, the listener.
What we really need is new equipment.
Right. Because what I don't want to give you is signed fossilized pieces of dog shit, because I don't think you would actually donate for that, although I could find it readily. Just saying.
Hey, it worked for the. It worked for the.
It did. It worked for Cards people. Against Humanity.
Though they made a mint
of the bullshit
of making. Yeah. They sold bullshit to people.
That being said, if you want to give us some suggestions for portraying, you can find us on Twitter at GeekStuffOG, at BKGeekStuff. And I suggest that you still continue to tweet and berate Scapegoat, ScapegoatGS on Twitter as well. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/BKGeekStuff.
Uh-huh.
You can find us on Instagram. I'm at GeekStuffOG, of course. And
I have an Instagram.
You have an account, although you haven't done anything with it yet.
That's correct.
But you are at BKGeekStuff over there correct. As well. So, of course, if you'd like to follow us there, we encourage you to do that as well. All sorts of show-related stuff.
Yes.
On all of those platforms. We are plug horse.
Oh, yeah.
Of course,
ashamed.
No. Of course, early in the show, we did mention the GVM line, so you can give us a call over there.
425-920.
I thought we were going to do a back and forth.
No, we only do back and forth with three.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
All right, then
it's
all you.
If you say GVM line, then I got to do it.
All you.
But if I say the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev Geek Stuff.
And I think with that, Big Kev.
Yes. OG, it is time. For us to bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close, episode 377, and then there were two, and we will end it the way we end all Big Kev's Geek Stuff programs by saying, good night, scapegoat, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.